Ready, ready. Talking in the microphone. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Friday Night Live. It's good to see everybody all ready to go. Ready to go. All right. Let's start off with a little prayer. Father, just bless your word tonight, Lord. We just thank you that you're so faithful and that your son's work was so complete on the cross, Lord, that nothing has to be added and nothing better ever be tried to take away from it or added to it, Lord. We know that it was sufficient for you to give his righteousness to anyone who would ever simply believe on his name, Lord. And how gracious that is when we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. And I'll just say thank you for that. Thank you for our weaknesses and our blessings that come from those weaknesses, Lord. And bless me as I try to preach your word tonight, Lord, that it'll be what you want these people to hear and not what I perhaps had planned, but whatever each individual needs. And we know that you're faithful to bless your word, Lord. It will not return to you without serving the purpose in which you've sent it. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, Hebrews 6. People teach that you can use your salvation in Hebrews 6 because they don't know that your salvation is of Christ, and the Father is never going to negate his work. You can do whatever you want to or try to live your spiritual life however you want to, but there's only one way with the Lord. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Now, that word there is Pharaoh, be carried about. It's a passive. Somebody's going to carry us about to maturity. We're not going to do it on our own. We just have to say, Lord, do it. Okay, you have my permission, do it. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of instruction about washings, laying on your hands, and of the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. These were all just mere rituals without reality, liturgy without life, teaching aids, symbols. The law was given as a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ in Galatians 3:23 and 24. We were kept in custody. The law was our tutor. These are the ABCs that these people were still working on here. Last time we said they should be teachers, but they were still on milk. Nobody was eating meat yet because they haven't desired any of the more weightier words. Colossians 2:17 says, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. They were still babes, drinking only milk, no strong meat. Baptisms and laying on of hands were still being practiced by the apostles plenty throughout the book of Acts. Acts 8:14 and following, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not fallen yet upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Simon the sorcerer even asked if he could purchase this gift from the disciples, and Peter tell him, take your silver and may you perish along with it. And he repented after that. These things were only teaching aids. Paul laid hands on a lot of people also. Here the writer, I believe, is encouraging these believers that they might be brought along to maturity, leaving the elementary teachings, the ABCs, not laying again a foundation from dead works. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's all right to have faith toward God, but it's just accompanied, it has to be accompanied by seeking to know more about him, and then he'll reward you according to Hebrews 6. We must believe that he exists and that the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Paul puts it like this in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing, forgetting behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I press on. Here the word is yoko. It's to pursue as with the power of a persecutor. And it's a little different than the Hebrews were encouraged to do. He was pressing on, Paul was, to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal this also to you. That will come in handy in a couple minutes. It's time to move on to maturity. I blame these believers for willful ignorance. Sure, they had a lot of problems and they were persecuted, and I think it was a lot of priests and Pharisees got saved, and they didn't want to give up some of the old goodies that they used to practice, the washings and the laying on of hands and all that. They were listening to the Judaizers, and they were unwilling to turn away from the tradition of the elders, like circumcision. For the longest time, it was going around that you had to be circumcised to be a Christian. And we all know that's not right. They didn't have the scriptures that we have, but they did have teachings that they could have had gotten hold of by then. Galatians, 15 years probably, has been out on the market. They could have had some Galatians, or almost as long, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians were out and about. So the lack of doctrine wasn't a real good excuse. And what about James and John? Weren't they teaching anything? James wrote a book. That was early. They should have been master in James, if nothing else. The author was trying to persuade them through negative. So we've been talking about the last couple times. The Exodus generation refusal to enter into rest because of, the author called it, the evil heart of unbelief. You don't want to have an evil heart of unbelief, surely. They weren't mixing faith with the preaching of Moses. By this time, they should be teachers. Now he's taking off the gloves. Come on. Let's go on to maturity. But wait, one more thing. Hebrews 6:3. This we will do if God permits. Yeah. The Lord can never reward negative volition or unbelief. There has to be a true repentance, a changing of the mind from negative volition to positive volition. Not like Esau. Sought forgiveness with tears, groveling, and was rejected. And Jacob, the hill catcher, it says in Malachi, I loved Jacob, and Esau I hated. Romans 2:4, don't you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. I heard Judy mention that last night, that God grants repentance. Romans 15:5, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ. Acts 5:31, he is the one, Christ, whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgive sin. 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant repentance to them, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Acts 8:22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven. 2 Corinthians, dealing with the believer that Paul turned over to Satan, and they wouldn't forgive him. He was trying to convince them that he wanted to come back, and he wanted forgiven and come back to church. But I now rejoice that you were made sorrowful, that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret. No groveling, no, I don't know who invented that, that you had to do all that to get to repent. It's just a change of thinking. Metanoia. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow is produced in you. What vindication of yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal. What avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in this matter. If anybody will know the word, the doctrine from my Father in John 7:17, he will know it. It just takes a willing of desire to allow him to do his work in you after you've received his word. It's God who both wills and does in the believer. Who just, if you keep my word, Jesus said. They didn't hear any of Jesus' words going around in Hebrews. I don't, they really had to be negative. I don't know. If you keep my word, you will be my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Jesus just said that to a group of people who believed in him and still wanted to kill him. How does that work? They need to get the word so they can truly repent and change their minds. And Peter, what did Peter want to save him from the cross? Don't go to the cross. I can't let you go to the cross. And he told that his human thinking was satanic. And he was commanded, the next verse, to strengthen the brethren. James 4:15. James, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Don't hear that people say that very much. Okay, from the first verse in Hebrews, not laying again a foundation. Foundation has already been laid as far as I know. And that is Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Acts 5:31, he is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So they should be on their way to repenting by now if they're listening. And like I said, it's just a change of mind and God will grant it. If he sees it's true and it's real, and you ain't adding nothing to it. Hebrews 6:4-6. Now at the beginning of this in the Greek, there's a word adunaton. I wasn't going to try to get. I won't get too technical, but it's an adjective. It's a nominative, neuter, singular adjective. An adjective goes with a noun. The same case. The same. Gender, the same. There isn't one in any of these verses. It's just there in the middle of nowhere. A dunaton. Impossible. So where it goes, they put it in verse 6. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think it's just there to say that it's impossible to lose your salvation, but that's just me. For in the case of those who have once for all hapax been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. They tasted it. They experienced the heavenly gift and been made partakers. Another passive, which means God did it to them. And have tasted the good work of the word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Who have once for all, hapax, received enlightenment, from God. He did it. They themselves have tasted the gift, but the gift is of God. And have been made sharers, passive voice, God did it. Made them sharers and partakers of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Hebrews 2:3-4 confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached from Joel. Joel 2:28-32, he preached this. And this is the way they saw they've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they were there that day, they would have known. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That day, 3,000. Later on, where did I see it? In chapter 4, 5,000 got saved in chapter 4. After Peter and John had been arrested and they were preaching on the temple steps. How they get out? Yeah, they're preaching the word again. I know that God does everything will remain forever, Ecclesiastes 3:14-15. There's nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. For God is so worked that men should fear him. That which has already been, and that which will already come has been. For God seeks what has passed by. Matthew 19:25. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved, Lord?" Looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." Hebrews 6:6. Then have fallen away. That word is parapipto. It's the same. Not the same form, but it's the same expression used by Jesus in chapter 13 of Matthew when the seed fell alongside the road. Now, a lot of people will tell you those people weren't saved. Now, the one that Satan came and snatched up, he might not have been saved, but the other ones are saved. It's just certain things in life. After you first get saved, and I don't think any of us were gangbusters after we first got saved. I know I did some things probably that I wouldn't have done before I got saved, after I got saved. So it takes a while, but, you know, you gotta try anyways. And they have fallen away. It is impossible. This is where they use the adunaton. It is impossible to renew them. Yeah, you know why? Because they've already been renewed. You can't get renewed again. And to repent, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Titus 3:5, we were born again by the washing of the water of the word and the renewing. It already happened. You can't get renewed twice. Since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame, acting like the work was never finished, like there was more to add to it. Just wasn't good enough. So they had to keep repeating it. Taking them bulls and goats down there, and the blood of bulls and goats will never, never, never take away sin. They fall alongside. The seed fell along the road amongst the weeds. Got choked by the peer pressure and the persecution. And the James, what about James? What did James say? Consider it all joy when you suffer. Didn't anybody hear him say that? The fear of being thrown in prison, for they forsook any word they might have acquired, going back to the sacrifices again. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. They shame Christ by repeating such sacrifices over and over, saying that his work on the cross was not sufficient, that it is not finished, when Jesus said it is finished. Putting Christ to open shame, their testimony to men was non-existent. They had a lousy testimony, and it wasn't anything that somebody would want to get saved by. And it's impossible to renew them again. They've already been saved. It's impossible to get saved twice. They're setting a bad example, and they have to be dealt with severely. John 5, I'm sure it's 15, 16. No, 1 John 5:16, I'm sorry. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask. God will give him life. To those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that you should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is a sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. But there's a sin leading to death. He'll put you out of your misery before you self-induce misery yourself to death. So that's how faithful he is. Second Peter says, 2:20, for if they have escaped the defilement of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state becomes worse than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment, be filled with the Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture, to... from the holy commandment, where I lost my place, then having known it and turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And Hebrews 10:29 says, how much severer punishment, severe, do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, passive, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge Satan's people. The Lord will judge his people. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Behold, I stand at the door of knock. Let me in, or else I'll spew you out of my mouth, Jesus said in Revelation 3 to the Laodicean today's church. So these people need to open that door and let him in. 7 and 8 of Hebrews, for ground that drinks the rain, often, key word there, often, not once a month, maybe not even once a week, every day it should be, one means or another. There's Friday Night Live. There was four, what, how many this week? Four this week, Scott? Four attempts or opportunities to get the Word of God? There's no excuse. Plus, you all have Bibles at home and probably a computer where you can re-listen to Scott's messages and Judy's. For the ground that drinks in the rain, which often falls on it, brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing. But if it yields thorns and thistles, where was that at? That was in the garden. That's all Adam's ever going to produce. It's worthless and close, nigh on to being cursed. Not cursed, but close to it. Ends up being burned. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return, without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding for which I sent it. That's a capital W there. The Word came. He's speaking of Christ. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And there will be a memorial to the Lord. The Father is pleased if you bear much fruit. For an everlasting sign which should not be cut off. John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, up, up, and away. Iroh. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean. You're already clean. Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather him and cast them into the fire where they are burnt. There's your testimony again. Getting men are walking all over it and setting matches to it because it stinks. You're not a sweet savor to them. You're not manifesting Christ to a lost and dying world. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you were dust. To dust you shall return. And the infamous 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. It is revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Like I said before, the Father is glorified by the production of much fruit. And that fruit also is not a work, it's effortless. Mark puts it this way, 4:26 of Mark, and he was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Goes to bed at night, gets up by day, seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. And he was saying to them, take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Paul said, I do the planting, Apollo does the watering, but God's the one who gives the increase. So he's the one producing fruit, not you. So just take it in and let the rain fall on you as often. James even agrees, be hearers and doers. Believe what you hear and read. Don't walk away from the mirror and forget who you were when you were looking in the mirror by not remembering what you looked at. Lest you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger, fear, name your emotion, of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. Though we were speaking in this way, we're convinced is perfect passive. This guy writing is utterly, utterly convinced and can't be persuaded any other way. about your salvation, about the sureness of your salvation. Have once all been absolutely convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. Though right now he's getting a little rough. Sound like he's getting a little rough with him. Verse 10. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Continuation is how you come to the full assurance. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They started out well. What happened? It sounds like Galatians. I found a lot of coincidences here between Hebrews and Galatians. They had the same problems, more or less. It was the Judaizers sneaking in and teaching another gospel. Take care, Hebrews 3, 12-14. Take care, brethren, that there not be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm till the end. James 1:3, know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. They had become forgetful in James 1:24 and 2 Peter 1:9. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence to your knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. Your godliness, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, and your brotherly kindness, agape. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten. He's even forgotten his purification from his former sins. Forgot he was forgiven. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. Hebrews 10:32. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners, accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. See, I said they started out well. Something happened. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 6:13 of Hebrews. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. That comes from Genesis 22:16 and following. And he said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Galatians 3:16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham, and his seed, does not say in the seeds, is referring to many, but rather to one, and your seed, Christ. It's all about Christ. they got to get on the boat here, the Christ boat. They're drowning here in Hebrews. Psalm 105, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are on all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made to Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Jeremiah 22:5, but if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house will become a desolation. That happened, didn't it? In Jeremiah's time, let alone a couple times since probably. Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You're a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. 6:15, and so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. He patiently waited. Proof that God does not see our shortcomings, but only our acts of faith. Abraham was no angel. He made a lot of mistakes, a lot of big mistakes that still have consequences today, I'm afraid. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him who he believed, even God. Who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100. Took him 25 years. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. 4:20 of Romans. Yet with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver. Says it again. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory. Said, Abraham sure wasn't perfect, but God called him friend. And Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In James 2:23. And in Isaiah 41:8, also God called Abraham his friend. Verse 16 of Hebrews 6. For men swear by greater than themselves, and with an oath give a confirmation, is an end to every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. Galatians 3:16, brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even a man's covenant can't be broken. So how much more when the Lord swears by himself? 1 Samuel 15:29. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. Okay, here's a test. Or am I the only dummy? Numbers 23:19. One of the greatest words of all. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and he will not do it. Or has he spoken and will not make it good? Moses was really on the ball when he said that, huh? He didn't say that. Who said that? Anybody? God is not a man that he should lie.
Who?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. When I finally looked at that verse, because I've heard people say that
verse for years, and I just thought it was Moses or something. Never knew it was Balaam. In Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He's not an Indian giver. Oh, sorry if there's any Native Americans out there. Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. Hebrews 6:18 to the end, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and one which enters into the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Not only does this chapter not teach that you can lose your salvation, but that you can never lose it, because it's based on God's faithfulness, his oath made to Abraham, and his veracity, which means he can never change his mind. But he will go to extreme measures, even to death, to cause your repentance. He not only saved us for time and eternity, but has entered the veil even to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes. Rather, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, or yourself? The answer is no. Nothing can separate us. John 6:39. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, believes in him, will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. 10:27 of John. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. It stands finished for time and eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Probably didn't have time to really teach it the way it should be taught, but this is Friday Night Live, and we like to keep it a little light here. And but we did get enough to know that you're utterly faithful, and that nothing can ever separate us from that salvation which you, Lord, paid for with your very life. You poured out your soul into death. Oh Lord, we can't even imagine. We just thank you, and we're so grateful for it. And thank you for your word. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The dreaded Aduna song.